Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Hi, it's Garbled Twistery. Oh, last time we talked about the wacky as Laffy Taffy yellow fever epidemic, but now it's about time I ought to talk about a truly game-changing event that happened in 1794. Okay, if you're new here and don't have a freaking clue what's going on, I'm talking about an event that happened in between an election year. Okay, so we're going to talk about some crazy Massachusetts inventor man from Massachusetts who probably single-handedly changed the entire economy of the southern states. His name was Eli Whitney. And in 1794, he got a yet-to-be-validated patent for a machine called the cotton gin. Okay, so I know this event seems like a small one, but it is a real game-changer in the grand scheme of things, alright? Here's how we're gonna tackle this. First, I'm gonna tell you about this dude, Eli. Then, I'm gonna tell you about this freaking machine that was his mind baby. Okay, so Eli Whitney was the son of a farmer named Eli Whitney, but our Eli Whitney should have gone by Eli Whitney Jr., but I guess he was just too cool for that. It just wasn't his style or whatever. So his mom kicked the bucket when he was 11, and when he was 14, he started making a whole lot of money because he was running a nail salon. No, not the does the purple match my eyes kind of nail salon. I'm talking about nails that need hammers. Okay. So later on, his new stepmom was like, quote, "Don't freaking go to college. I can't afford those freaking loans, okay?" Unquote. But you see, Eli hated his stepmom, so he saved up his money and went to freaking Yale. And he wanted to be a lawyer, but he didn't have I want to be a lawyer money, so he settled for being a private tutor or whatever. And as he was on his way to South Carolina to be a tutor, a rumor was floating around that all the money nowadays, it's in Georgia. Okay, so now he's in Georgia, and this is where he comes up with a game-changing machine, okay? I think I have an advertisement for the machine right here. Hold on. Hi, it's me, Eli Whitney here with the cotton gin. Are you tired of having 10 of your human slaves uselessly sifting through a single bucket of cotton to pick out those pesky seeds? Well, you can send them to get whipped in the fields, because with the cotton gin, you only need one slave for a machine. How does it work? You put the cotton on the machine and crank it. Two simple steps, 60 pounds of cotton. This special brush keeps the cotton moving through, and the brush, and look, not a seed can be found. Call now. Send in your cotton, and you'll receive your first three buckets with a money-back guarantee. But wait, there's more. Buy one cleaning of the cotton, get three cleanings of the cotton for free. That's right, you heard me. Buy one bucket, get three free, but only if you call now. Oh, yeah. Eli wasn't trying to sell these freaking machines, okay? He was trying to be a cleaning service for the cotton that was already picked. And while he had a patent or whatever, the patent laws and stuff were incredibly hard to enforce. And, like, they were kind of a new thing. So people would show up for a cleaning and be like, "Wow, that looks easy. I can make this nonsense at home and not pay." And people started doing that, and Eli Whitney didn't really make any money off his cotton gin. But also, like, people who owned rice plantations or indigo plantations saw the insane amount of clean cotton that was being produced and sold, and they were like, "Wow, I'ma get me a piece of that," and they turned their plantations into cotton plantations. Oh, and because all of these bootleg cotton gins were all over the place now, and because they could handle freaking 60 pounds a day, that means more slaves had to be kidnapped from Africa and other locations where slave trade was happening, because those cotton plants are small and those machines are big. This means, eventually, cotton's gonna end up running the entire southern economy, and slavery, which would have naturally died off or decreased in the same way it did with pretty much the rest of the world, stayed in place. The cotton was profitable, so the slavery was profitable. The number of slaves you had was a representation of how much cotton you could make. And as a rule of thumb, if someone's making a lot of money, and there are hundreds of thousands of people doing the work that makes the money, the person collecting the money isn't gonna have a whole lot of empathy for people spending their days bent over in the hot sun. That empathy would ruin the profits. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the sharp increase in the number of slaves and the amount of money being made off their backs directly correlated with a sharp increase in the number of cruelties that would count as crimes had they been committed toward anybody considered legally human. But I digress. If you want to see a cotton gin for yourself, you can go to the Eli Whitney Museum in Connecticut, and you can even make one yourself, and you can teach your students to make one yourself. It works with the Common Core. Yeah. I mean, it was a revolutionary invention, and it had revolutionary consequences. And I'm sure the museum staff are aware of that. And I'm sure the same claim can be made with every new invention that comes along. I mean, look at the Facebook situation that's going on. If you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to the garbledtwistery.net website and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Next time, we're going to one of the oft-forgotten U.S. states to talk about something that happened there before it was a U.S. state, just like we did with California, and we'll do it with a Kamehameha.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
This special brush keeps the cotton moving through, and the brush, and look, not a seed can be found.